Hey everyone, I am the Chosen One Legend here, as usual with my co-host.
Hi, I'm Kai, also known as Faskorine.
And welcome to our podcast, Bunch of Jokers, where we talk all things Nintendo, particularly over the past month, and bunch of other gaming stuff as well. And it's kind of been a busy month this past this past
Yeah, we
month. There's actually
finally had a
been
resurgence.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Nintendo news happening, and of course for us, we've had the we had an interview with Sean Chiplock, the voice of Revali, which was crazy.
Yeah, go check that out if you haven't yet.
Definitely, if you haven't, go give it a look. It's on our channel, and if it's possible, you might have come here from there. In which case, welcome. We we do monthly podcasts talking about all sorts of Nintendo news that's happened over the past month, what we've been playing, all sorts of stuff. And like we said, we actually have various things to talk about this time, going from the Mario collection that came out, Hyrule Warriors was announced, and all sorts of other things. So
I mean,
we should have
after
a.
that dry patch a couple months ago with like no news, it's good to finally have some stuff to talk about.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's been pretty quiet, People have just been chilling in Animal Crossing for several months, but now we finally have some other things to play. If you're ready, Kai, let's get started on it.
Yep, let's do it.
So, our first segment is called Can't Have a Podcast Without News, Baby. So we're just going to run over some bits of the past month. Usually we used to do it in date by date, but we're going to mix up a little bit more. So it's a bit more relaxed this time, just going from
Okay.
random announcements depending on how interesting they might be. And to start things off, we've got not Nintendo actually, but pretty big news in gaming is that Xbox and PlayStation both revealed the prices and releases of their next consoles, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. So they're both
It's
launching at. Oh, sorry, go on.
I said it's been a long time coming for that. People have been waiting so long.
They've sort of been like, it's like, no, you announce your price. No, you announce your price. But finally, Xbox decided to pull the plug and release it. And they're both basically the same. $500 or £450 for the main versions of each console, at least. Releasing on the 10th of November and the 19th of November, respectively. I think those are the UK dates, so it might be slightly different based on your country. But basically, about the same time and about the same price, so
Yeah,
people
I
really have
mean,
their options.
450, you said 450, right? Just to make sure I'm
Yeah,
not losing my mind.
£450.
Okay. I mean that's kind of reasonable. Like, I think a lot of people are expecting it to be around 600, 700, so it's good to see they haven't quite reached that point yet. But if you compare it to something like the Switch, which was, I believe, 300,
Two
it's
280 pounds.
280, yeah. So it's a noticeable step up, but that's probably because those consoles have a lot more firepower than the Switch does. So.
Definitely, and they've been showing off. We're not going to go too in depth, but they have been showing off some games and various parts for the consoles, and you can see where the expense is coming in. These are, compared to the Switch, these are quite powerful consoles that are getting closer to PC levels, even though PCs are also going up, I've heard. But
Yeah.
no, so
The prices are
the biggest thing
reasonable
I
though,
think,
aren't they? You know?
yeah, the prices are reasonable, but if we look at the games, some of the video games are going to be like £70 or something, which
Now that's the kicker. Yeah, that's the real kicker.
that's the kicker. Yeah, that's going to it, I will say it definitely is a boost towards Xbox because they have Game Pass, which I don't know the exact prices, but that's pretty good value for getting the big releases as they launch, especially
Yeah.
when you compare it to getting the physical £70. That does go a little bit in Microsoft's favor there, I will say that much.
Yeah, that's true.
Just based on. But I will also say that PlayStation have shown off some of the more interesting games. I think like Spider-Man looks excellent. I'm really excited. Ratchet and Clank looks really cool, so maybe I'll
Yeah,
end up getting
they
one of
seem to have
these
a more
eventually.
they do seem to have a more appealing variety on PS4, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and but something that might sway your opinion a little bit, Kai, is moving on. We have Microsoft news
Yeah.
that they actually purchased Bethesda. Well, a few companies that were linked with Bethesda, I don't know exactly how it works, but they now own, Skyrim and all these other properties. So, what do you think of that?
It kind of hurts in a way, because I wanted to get the PS4 because I've always preferred getting the PlayStation consoles to the Xbox ones. It just suits me better. So I was planning on buying Elder Scrolls 6. Like, that was going to be the point that would give cause me to get a PS5. So now that Bethesda's moved over to Xbox, I'm not sure how that's going to work with the game porting to other consoles. But, you know, if they end up just releasing it on the Xbox first, then I'm going to be suffering, because, man, I want to play that game. Come on. And the other Bethesda games as well, because Bethesda has a good selection.
Yeah, we do know that they are keeping to some previous deals they've made, so they are still releasing some PS4 exclusives and some games that will be on both consoles. So I don't think we'll see any changes for the next year or so, but moving on, it could go either way, whether or not they'll decide we want to keep Bethesda properties like Skyrim or Elder Scrolls on our console to make people buy it, or they could still release it multi-platform. You know, they've released some games on Switch, like Ori, which we'll get to later, you know, so they have shown that they're capable of releasing some of their games on other platforms if they think it'll make them more profit. So it really could go either way at this point.
I just want to play as a Breton and just go kill some mud crabs, man.
Just boot up the Switch for now. That'll have to do.
I guess so.
But, you know, moving on to some more Nintendo news. A bit of a more downer is that we heard that No More Heroes 3 has been delayed till 2021, which was... It was one of the, you know, the last remaining games we knew was coming this year. But we've got a few others now, so it's not quite as bad as it would have been.
But... Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks, but at the same time, like, you know, I feel like both of us are in the same sort of opinion that if a game's being delayed, especially to make sure it has a better release, then we're on board with it, so.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. You know, I think we're probably going to see more of this. We've been seeing a lot of it, and, you know, it's I hate to say it, but it's almost a matter of time until Bravely 2 gets gets pushed back to 2021. We're all expecting it. But we have got other things coming out, so it's not the end of the world. Have you played a No More Heroes game before?
I never have, no.
No, me neither. And, you know, sometimes when I've been in CEX, not recently, but I've seen, like, the first one for, like, £2 on the Wii. So... If I see it again, I might be tempted to pick it out, because it looks fun. It looks very interesting, shall we say. He's definitely got a sense of style, Travis. And, you know, some people think he might even make it into Smash, you know, so that would be a good incentive to launch these two at a similar time, if that did happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm with you on the idea that, you know, it does seem like an interesting series. So, you know, if it's going to get a small delay and then it's going to come out with a good release next year, yeah, that's cool.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, we do have other Nintendo news coming out. We had a Direct Mini Partner Showcase, which they've been a regular thing each month now, and they keep getting better and better. We've gone a long way from WWE, so...
After that dreadful... Well, not dreadful, but after the somewhat underwhelming first one, they've been improving greatly, so...
You know, they started things off with Monster Hunter, two games... Monster Hunter Rise and Monster Hunter Stories 2, both coming to the Switch next year, I believe. And I'm no Monster Hunter fan, I've not really played any, but it looks really neat. I mean, it looks cool.
These games, I don't remember which one, but one of them stuck out to me, and I was thinking, you know what, this might get me into the series. I might give it a go. Like, I'm not 100%, but man, it looks appealing, definitely.
Yeah, well, the first one, Monster Hunter Rise, I think is a more traditional Monster Hunter game. It was the one where they had a new move, like a grappling hook or some sort.
Yeah.
And people were able to climb up the sides, Breath of the Wild style.
That was
the
appealing.
So it seemed like they were... Yeah, it seemed like they were mixing in your sort of traditional Monster Hunter, but giving it some new sort of kicks that increase your mobility. And, you know, mobility in games is always a big part of what makes it enjoyable, so... More ways to destroy monsters.
Yeah, especially if the terrain is very explorable, definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, visually, it looked really nice, you know, for a Switch game. They can definitely still push some great-looking stuff out of this console.
I mean, as but, the showcase yep. started, I jokingly said I was on call to Sam during it, our editor, mm. and yeah. I jokingly said to him at the beginning, I was like, "Oh, this is going to be just a Monster Hunter Direct." Little did I know, it basically was.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they actually, after the presentation, they were like, "Here's our Monster Hunter Direct," and they just showed the trailers again, go into more detail. So. If you're a Monster Hunter fan, and I know a few of them, they seem pretty excited about this. And even Stories too. I've never played the first one, which was on 3DS, but it's a very different style of game. It's a bit more anime-like and a bit more bright and colourful, but it's great that they have these two different styles of Monster Hunter games that were going to appeal to different audiences. So,
yeah, it's a really solid part of the showcase, yeah.
It was, yeah. And, you know, they showed off a few different things throughout this presentation that looked interesting, but... The main one that stuck out to me, besides Monster Hunter, was Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which is the second Ori game, now coming to the Switch. And I haven't played the first one, but it looks so beautiful, this game.
It looks great.
It's incredible. Yeah, how they got this running up on the Switch with everything. I really need to try this out. I played the demo of the first one and just haven't got around to buying the main game yet, but... It looks nice.
I mean, it looks to be somewhat reminiscent of like a, you know, correct me if I'm wrong because I've not played either of them, but kind of a mix between Hollow Knight and Celeste even.
Yeah, I can see that sort of thing. Definitely sort of the Hollow Knight sort of vibes, and you're going along, it's sort of a bit like a indie platformer, but it's a bit more of a bigger budget one, I think. You know, not to the level of AAA title, but you can tell there's a lot of detail in this project, and I don't know if you saw the collector's edition
that they showed off. I don't remember.
They showed off a pack that's coming out of both games in like this really beautiful like box that opens up and it has like this sort of kaleidoscope of colors. It's like over £100, so I'm probably not getting it, but it looked impressive. It's one of the most visually impressive collector's editions I've seen.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it was great to see, you know, more games coming up. But moving off from things that are coming up to something that's had its time now, because the Nintendo 3DS is being discontinued now. Of an era, Kai. It means, at the bright side, it means we'll no longer be getting games like Luigi's Mansion Remake on the 3DS that would be much better on the Switch. So
true.
I see
true.
It as a win, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame to see it go because, you know, it's the DS cycle as a whole has been really good. It's really been good to have like a handheld console, especially with two screens. You know, they a lot of games handled the two screen concept really well. It was a very fun console as a whole. A lot of great games on it. You know, games with series that have now moved onto the Switch. And it's clear that they're kind of moving everything towards the Switch in both the DS and the Wii U series. But it's a shame to see it go. But it had a really good run overall.
It did, you know. And the 3DS, it was it's basically the console that really made me a hardcore Nintendo fan. It was the first console I ever got at launch and had that hype of being excited to play it at the first time, even though there weren't really that many good games at launch. I was still excited. And it's introduced me to so many things. You know, I played my first Zelda game there, my first Xenoblade on it. So I owe a lot to the 3DS. It's had a great run, especially given it had a bit of a rocky start. They really pulled it up and got some momentum going. So it shall be
missed. Yeah, it had some fun stuff. Yeah, it will be. It will be.
Definitely. And, you know, sort of, I guess, continuing this thing of 3DS games or series moving on to the Switch, they shadow dropped out of nowhere Kirby Fighters 2 on the Switch, which I think the first one was a 3DS game that started as a mini game in one of the mainline Kirby games.
Right.
But basically it's your sort of, it's Kirby Smash Bros. You get to fight
pretty
arenas
much. It's just
with
Sakurai
power-ups.
Just said,
yeah.
Hey, do you want Smash, but it's only Kirby? That's what it is. Yeah.
Having Kirby the main character in World of Light and Subspace Emissary wasn't enough. You know, he has to be every character in the game now. So
that's Sakurai for you.
But, you know, when I first saw this, I thought it was... They released a free-to-play Kirby game on the eShop a few months ago or a year ago, which wasn't great, and I thought it was just going to be like that. But watching the review of it, it actually is quite, it's a bit more in depth than that. It's a proper fighting game. It's got its own little story mode. Apparently the multiplayer online works quite well. So it is actually, it looks interesting. I enjoy the Kirby fighting games. I liked Star Allies. It wasn't the best Kirby game, but playing around with these different power-ups is always fun. The thing that puts me off is that it's about 17 quid. So
that's also, yeah, that's a problem. But I mean, I've seen some gameplay of it, and it seems pretty solid. Like, I don't think it's on the same level as Smash, but it seems very solid as a whole. And if you're into like that genre and you're into the Kirby stuff, then yeah, it seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's not just, it doesn't seem like just a cheap money grab. It looks like it's actually had effort and, you know, love put into it. So
It's just smashed with all the rejected ideas put into Kirby costumes, right?
That is exactly what it is. These are the characters who didn't make it into the DLC, so...
the Waluigi costume that Kirby has in that game is crazy.
Oh, you know, he rocks that mustache like no one else, so... you know, moving on to quite a big reveal was that, of course, this month we had Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity revealed. And that happened right at the start of the month, and we've already rediscussed the initial reveal in its own video, so if you haven't, do go check that out for our initial impressions. But since then, they have added a few more details. They've shown off a bit of gameplay, and probably the biggest thing that has been announced since is a playable Impa. Young Impa, I should say. You're not playing as the old lady Impa, as interesting as that would be. But
no, that's not quite how the timeline's going to work.
Not quite.
Would have been cool, though.
But yeah, it would have been. She looks incredibly fun to play as. She, like, creates these different, like, mirages of her around her. And
she's going to have the best combos in the game. Calling it now.
Yeah. I can only imagine so. I mean, who knows who else will be playable. We're still not entirely sure if it's going to have a bigger roster of smaller characters or if it's going to be mostly focused around the champions and Impa and that. But, you know, what they've shown off so far looks really solid. It really is the perfect mix of Warriors games and Breath of the Wild.
It does look really clean. I just want to play it. And plus, it was our first showcase, I believe, of the Age of Calamity gameplay, right?
It was, we saw little bits of it in the initial reveal, but we actually got to watch someone play through most of a level, or at least a large part of it.
We got to see a bit more about, we got to see, of course, Impa's moveset, which, was really fun with all the duplicates. We also saw the egg coming in, the guardian.
Yes! We still don't really know what he does, do we?
It created a tower out of nowhere, and then just kind of followed him around. So I'm guessing it might just be like a companion character, maybe. Who knows?
That would be my assumption. I think your theory about Pura fighting with the egg might be gone now, I'm afraid to say, Kai. But
oh, the game isn't out yet. Who knows?
That's true. There's plenty of time left. But But like, they even showed off another story trailer, and it's going to be heartbreaking watching this, I can just tell. But seeing more of Breath of the Wild story and characters brought to life is a good way to keep us going until Breath of the Wild 2 comes out, whenever that may be. So
yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see from a plot perspective, because it's like we already kind of know what happens. It's just like, what's going to be added, because this is just me theorizing here.
Yeah.
I predict that they may add very small additions that are references to Breath of the Wild 2. Like, I don't think it's got a great chance of happening, because, of course, even though they did work closely with the Breath of the Wild team, there were different developers taking sort of the front lines with that. So although there's a small chance, I do believe that they could add in some references to Breath of the Wild 2 for things that may happen. Again, mentioning all the stuff about the Zonai, because I love talking about the Zonai tribe for some reason. All of that sort of thing.
Have to get them in here somewhere.
Yeah. As well as that, the maps. We've only seen one of them properly so far. But I think the map looks really interesting. And of course, we talked about it before, but the fact it was genuinely just really open world, as we could see in the gameplay, was really interesting to see, I think.
It was. Like, you've got your traditional... We could see them taking fortresses and different keeps. It's your traditional sort of Warriors gameplay, but it's definitely in a way that we haven't exactly seen it before. And we saw mechanics like the Flurry Rush are in there, and all sorts of things. The runes being used in really interesting ways. So they are going all in with this game. You know, it's not long. It's only just a month and a half till it comes out. I really need to pre-order it, actually.
It's going to be December's podcast, what we've been playing. It's just Age of Calamity. We haven't slept.
That's
in
all
days.
It's going to be. Might be the first the first actual podcast we don't mention Xenoblade because we're too hooked up on Hyrule Warriors.
Well, you just said it there, so this one's gotten a strike.
Oh, there it is. Has to happen each time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really hyped for that to come out. But you know, until then, we've got actually an update for a previous game. Animal Crossing is, of course, continuing to get updates. And just coming out, I think tomorrow at the time we're recording this, is the Halloween update with pumpkin farming and different skin colours to make yourself look like a zombie and eye colours and all sorts leading up to Halloween itself. So did you get a chance to check out the trailer?
I've had a little look at the trailer and it's kind of expected that we have this Halloween update. You know, it's Animal Crossing. Yeah. They always have seasonal updates. And although I haven't played Animal Crossing in a while, the update seemed fun. You know, nothing groundbreaking, but it looked pretty good. Especially I liked the different ideas of like face paint and making the appearance of your character look different. I feel like there's some really good opportunities for that sort of thing.
Definitely, yeah. You know, for some reason, the first thing I saw was that you can change your eye color to like pink, and I'm like, our friend Carl is already going to make Zelda from Fire Emblem. I can see it.
It's happening.
It's probably already happened, but but yeah, there's some neat features, and I mean, I'm not sure how much I'm going to play throughout the month, or if this will get me back into it, but probably in the week leading up to October itself, I could imagine, you know, meeting up with some friends on Halloween to just have like a Halloween party. That could be a lot of fun. So
yeah. Halloween, hide-and-seek on Animal Crossing will get a whole lot spookier.
We're just going to have jump scares now.
Yeah.
I just hope there's any furniture that I can blend in with, like the Easter event, to truly hide from you.
Because... Don't remind me. Don't remind me.
One of the greatest moments in Animal Crossing, so...
Aye.
Should be good fun, though. And our last bit of news for this month just happened yesterday when we were recording this. And they officially announced the release date for the final bit of Sword and Shield DLC, Pokemon, the Crown Tundra, which is coming out on the 22nd of October with a pack-in with the full game and the DLC physical coming out on the 6th of November. And, you know, it looked like pretty much what we expected, I would say, as a non-Pokemon fan.
Yeah.
You know, people... I've seen mixed things about it, but generally I think people... think it looks good, and I do like myself a good icy aesthetic and sort of snowy areas, and it looks interesting to explore. I have all the different Pokemon locations. This does interest me visually more than the Isle of Armor, I would say, so that's cool.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be cool. I like a lot of the new additions they had. The one that sticks out to me is that like little raid halfway thing you have, where you go as a group through a cave. Yeah, that seems cool, as well as the other features. Were we going to talk about those in like a scheduled way, or like just in case I intrude?
Go for it, any way you like.
So yeah, you know, you had that little like raid thing where you go through series, and then it seems like you can catch a legendary Pokemon at the end. It seems like they've introduced basically all of the legendary Pokemon. I might be wrong on that, but it seems like pretty much all of them now.
It's like a legendary party going on, yeah. If not all of them, it's at least most of them are coming in here. So
yes, people love their legendaries. Slowly adding to the decks. And then also they had that whole double battle with characters from the game, which I think it's pretty fun.
Overall. Something like the Pokemon Star All-Star Tournament or something. And
it's
a nice way to bring all these sort of characters that people, you know, gym leaders and story characters that people have grown to like. And, you know, put them all in one place together. So that's, it seems like a fun addition.
If I'm brutally honest,
go for it.
I feel like it should have just been in the main game anyway. Because, you know, compare it to the I think it's called the Battle Tree from Alola, Gen 7. You know, that was like, occasionally on that, you'd fight against characters from that game and other games as well. And it's like... I mean, come on, it wouldn't have been hard to just have that in the main game. Why are you charging us for it? But And that's just my gripe with it. Who knows? It might be really good. It might be really good with its presentation. So.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I've seen a lot. People are generally happy with the content, but there is the argument of should this have been in the main Pokemon game? Now it's being charged to us. But, you know, if people are happy to pay for it and they end up enjoying it, good for them, you know?
Yeah, I still haven't played Sword and Shield. That's what I'm going to call them
now. You're starting the trend now.
Yeah. Get it trending on Twitter.
Just wait till you have to... The day that you have to start paying real money for Pokeballs in the main games is the is a dark day. So.
Oh God. Okay.
We're already on our way with Pokemon Go. So.
on top of all that, though, in the display, they had that little what was it like the music video at the end?
Yes. Yeah.
That was so that was really well animated and that sort of thing. I was really impressed with it. I thought it was meant to be announcing something, so I was really confused at what it was trying to announce. But it looked really good. Yeah, really well done animation. So
you know, I'm not a big Pokemon fan, so I didn't get all the references, but you could tell that they put a lot of depth into it. Just like I was in a voice call with Sam for that, and you could see he was getting excited about the different references to the different games and that. So it was a nice thing for them to do.
The majority of it was, you know, you had like gym leaders, Elite Four members, rivals, all of that sort of thing were in there. And it was just kind of showcasing all of those in that animated style that was really fun. So overall, it was just kind of a nice nod to the series as a whole. So I really enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, it's good to know there's some true passion for Pokemon still on the team, at least, you know.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much everything that's happened this month, you know. So... let's move on to our next segment, which is Games Time, baby, where we talk about the different games that we've been playing for the past month. And before we get on to the obvious one, which is Mario 3D All-Stars, has there been anything else you've been playing, Kai?
I suppose it's worth touching on it very briefly, but I have made a return recently to Dicey Dungeons in the last week or two. And although I'd already beaten a lot of the game already in past months, I kind of gave a return to it to, you know, finally definitively beat every single level on it. I'm trying to get all the achievements because there's like 40 or 30 something different challenges. So I've been trying to go through all of those. I only have a couple left now. The game remains to be like, because I've been doing some of the hardest stuff now with a lot of resets, the game remains to be infuriating, very infuriating, because it's luck based, you know, it's dice, what do you expect?
Yeah,
but it's very fun. It's a very fun game, very interesting in trying to work out what your best strategies are to try and reach certain achievements and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean the thing with luck based games is that they can be annoying, but if they're balanced so that there's just that right mix of skill and luck, it can be really satisfying when everything falls in your way. So
yeah, it's also about you're trying to take your luck into account, thinking, what's the chances that this is going to be useful to me? Like, you know, it's a very fun and interesting game, but goddamn, when I roll four ones in a row, it's not fun.
I've never played Dicey Dungeons, but I played a bit of D&D, and there was this one time I was playing where I pretty much got a nat one, just rolled a one all game. So I've been there. It's tragic.
Right, yeah.
Hurts every time, but...
What about you then? Anything?
Well, I guess I haven't been playing much, you know. I beat Xenoblade 2, which was fantastic as usual. I've been mixing around in a few other games when I was waiting for Mario. But the only game that I've really put real time into that's worth mentioning is actually Mario's Picross from the SNES Online, which... which got added this year. This year? Well, yes, this year. This
technically
month.
This year.
Technically, I was correct, yes. But, you know, I actually quite like Picross. If you've never played it, it's a bit like Sudoku, but you fill in blocks to create a picture. And, you know, I played the Zelda Twilight Princess one that was on the 3DS you could get with your My Nintendo rewards and quite enjoyed it. So I thought I'd try this, and it's just a nice way to relax in the evenings. It's sort of therapeutic. You can shut off your brain and just play it, and you know it's not really Mario themed. The pictures aren't anything Mario related, but it's a decent version of playing it. And you know, like actually before the our interview with Sean Chiplock, that was at 2 a.m. So I had a lot of time to kill before then. So I was like, what can I do to keep my mind occupied? play Picross, and it worked. So
yeah, fair enough. I mean, I think you haven't mentioned another game I believe you've played a little bit of in the last month.
Well, I've actually got this written down. Are you thinking of perhaps a certain game made by a certain Fascaran?
No way. No.
All right, in that case, nope, let's move on to Mario. So 64, okay. but yes, because Kai, as you heard in the last few podcasts, has been making a game on RPG Maker, and it finally came out, and I got to try it out. It's not released publicly, it's just sort of part of our community. It's all full of inside jokes and references, but it is, like, you know, I'm not just being a suck-up here. It was really fun. I really enjoyed my time with it. I haven't got to finish it yet, just because I'm sort of got trapped by Mario All-Stars and getting through that. But it was a very interesting sort of RPG. Some of the mechanics of, like, choosing to block to restore your MP reminds me a bit of, like, Octopath or something.
Yeah, I believe that's something that's, like, not exactly, it's very different in that, but, like, Bravely Default, where you store turns, I believe it is. Like, I kind of got a bit of the idea from that sort of thing, and I wanted to make blocking useful. I think the only person who has beaten the game, who at least has told me, is Oliver.
He has the speed run for the game at the moment.
Yes. Well, the thing is you've all played the bugged version, but there is I have a refined version. Feel free to DM me, like, anyone at any point, and I can send over the refined version, which doesn't have all the bugs that were in there. I think he said he enjoyed it. You know, there's loads of different references in there, and the gameplay, I'm not really sure on the gameplay. I think it's a little bit unbalanced in areas, a little bit tough at the beginning, which I have changed, but I think he enjoyed it. So that's all.
You know, I still somewhat despise you for including MP draining enemies, but besides that, you know,
I have nerfed
it's all been fun.
I have nerfed that a lot, don't worry.
Oh, thank goodness. But the thing is, I can't play the if I play the fixed version, then I don't get my infinite revival bread. So
shh, don't tell people about that. No one else has found it.
It's a secret to everyone. But it's you know, for a game, you know, you've never done game development before. I'd assume, and your first time.
Yeah, I've never touched anything close to this before. So
yeah, and I had a lot of fun playing it. I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed some other RPGs I've tried out, so it grasps me more than the demo of Octopath did, so
right.
I can only say that I've had fun with it. And, you know, me being a main character, that's unrelated, of course, you know, it's nothing to do with that, but it does help. So
I mean, did you notice the references to your different skills and that sort of thing?
I haven't played in about 2 weeks, so I'd have to remember. But
You need to get past level 10 to see them, so don't worry.
I did spot a lot of great references in there. The writing was on point, you know, so.
That was the biggest thing for me, is I wanted to make it a very personalised thing, so.
Yeah. And, you know, it definitely worked. It was a lot of fun. And do you still have plans to make a full game, or?
Yes. How I work as a person is I have a lot of different projects I do, you know, writing all of Xenoblade 1 into a story, making this, you know, loads of different things like that I like working on as projects. So I kind of like to do one project at a time. So this was the project I've been working on for the last couple of months. So what I'll probably do is I'll have one project, maybe one or two in between then, and then sometime in 2021, maybe like halfway through the year, I am going to make a start on developing a full game, probably more in the Fire Emblem style rather than traditional turn-based. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's not set in stone yet. Nothing is set in stone with any of it. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I look forward to see however it turns out. I recently got to try Fire Emblem myself this year, so I'm sort of getting into that series a bit more. So any sort of combat that style definitely seems interesting to me.
Yeah. It's easier to make as well, so.
Yeah, that always helps.
Yeah.
But moving on, of course, the biggest release this month that came out of nowhere was Mario 3D All-Stars. And, you know, for a start, just to double check, what games from the collection have you got to try?
So prior to the game's release, I'd already played Galaxy as well as 64's remake on the DS, and that's it.
Okay. And what have you actually got to play of the remake itself?
I have so far 100%ed 64, and that's it. I've not touched the other two yet.
Well, I'm at a similar point. I did 100% 64, and literally an hour or so before this podcast, I beat Sunshine.
Nice.
But, you know, neither of us have touched Galaxy yet, but you know, that'll be something we'll probably get to next month. But that's also the that's the game I knew most going in, so I'd imagine my thoughts on that will probably stay pretty similar. Whereas,
I mean, after 64, I'm going to be appreciating the motion control, not the motion control, sorry, the movement much more.
Yes, definitely.
Damn, 64 is a terrible control system.
Well, you know what? Let's get things started. Let's go game by game.
So, okay.
What are your thoughts on 64 then?
So, as I said, I'd already played 64 DS.
Yes.
But this was my first time trying out the original properly. And I've seen a lot of things such as speedruns, so I kind of knew bits here and there, but it was a mostly sort of blind run of, really playing it myself. And it was fun, to be honest, because the game was released in 97, and so it's kind of old, but I feel like I've had a lot of fun.
Older than
with
both
it.
Of us.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I had a lot of fun with it. You know, it was really interesting having 6 stars plus the 100 coins per level, trying to work through them. I can really see how Mario Odyssey has taken after it in a lot of ways, as well as Galaxy and those types of games. The controls were lacking, and the camera, those were like the main issues I had with it. But, you know, the game was fun. I think it was really interesting to play one of the older games where they do give you much less direction on what to do. So,
yeah, you know, I've always said your worst enemy in Mario 64 isn't Bowser, it's the camera. So
it is, Nakatu.
It's out to get you. But, it definitely does show its age at some points. And that's one thing we'll probably get into at the end of this isn't really much of a remake. It's just a shiny port, I suppose. So it's exactly the same game. Just shinier, really.
It's kind of good to appreciate, in a sense, though. You know, you can appreciate like how far things have come since then, and how that, you know, this sort of set a precedent for how 3D platformers would work in a way. So
yeah, you really can, especially playing these three back to back is going to be a really interesting process of seeing how the Mario series changed throughout the years.
Yeah,
and just, you know, despite the fact it like you say, it is clunky. The camera often screws you over and leads to unfortunate deaths, but it's things like, you know, the level design and the environments, they hold up pretty well, you know. I'd even say, aside from some glitchy moments like when he slides all over the place, even how Mario moves around feels great, you know, pulling off a triple jump or a side
thing does feel nice.
The physics to Mario is always really nice. He has this sense of agility which I don't think any of the other games have really quite matched. Maybe Odyssey with its flipping the hat, but
I think speed in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Like 64 has a certain element of speed to it, probably explains why it's speedrun so often, but
yeah.
You know, being able to pull off quick dives, quick triple jumps, that sort of thing, really does give it that sense of like fast mobility. So
yeah, it does. And you know, even visually, it's obviously, it, you know, it doesn't hold up remarkably well from the from the fact of it's blocky, it's very blocky. But
Yoshi is cursed.
Yoshi is very cursed. But it's one of them things where I don't think it looks bad either. The world is so vibrant and colourful. It's, despite being very blocky, it's somewhat aged gracefully in the way that the world still seems visually appealing to me. It's still a place I want to explore.
Again, like, you can kind of appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, you know, you look at some things, some games that go for like the realistic style in like the 2000s, and you play them now and it's like, oh, that's grim to get through. But besides the odds really murky texture on 64, most of it still looks pretty nice, and it brings the world together in a great way. I mean,
that's,
you know,
true.
They have the fact that in Odyssey you have his traditional 64 look as one of the costumes with the polygons. I think that speaks
they
to
knew
how
what
people
they were
have
doing.
Yeah, people have admiration for this style, so it is fun.
Wasn't Mario Odyssey in the collection? Why wasn't that ported to the Switch?
Asking the important questions, you know, why isn't Odyssey 2 in this? Huh. Nintendo are cheapskates.
Oh, poor Galaxy 2, though. You
poor
know.
Galaxy 2. But the thing is with 64, I played it before on the Wii U eShop, and...
Yeah.
I did 100% it, but only with excessive save state usage, because I had a rough time of it, and my opinions on it weren't that high. But this time around, I don't know, I've heard that the Wii U version has input lag, which might have made a big difference, but I really enjoyed my time with 64 a lot more, just having it on the Switch.
You know, it controlled well on the controllers, I found, yeah, the Joy-Cons that I used. Yeah. And yeah, it seemed pretty smooth.
And I don't think we can undersell having it in handheld is nice, you know. Of course, there was 64DS before that, but
yeah,
with a full joystick control rather than the D-pad, it is nice to have. And
yeah,
also, whereas before, I was a bit nervous about not having save states, I did actually find that it caused me to play it properly for the first time, and I enjoyed it more because of that.
Yeah, I mean, the game's not...
An example is in Total Mounting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not. Like in Total Mounting, there's these red coins where you have to jump between the mushrooms. And I remember playing this back on the Wii U, and I made a save state at every single jump because I was terrified of it. And it did bring down the experience, but this time I trusted myself a bit more because there were no save states. I made the jumps carefully, and I didn't die once on it, because once you get used to it and you adapt to the controls, you're going to have a better time with it. So I think in some ways it was nice not having no save states to fall back on. And there was a satisfaction to getting 100% on this game for the first time. You know, over 20-year-old game, it did feel nice to beat. So I have respect for 64.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those ones that you can just have respect for because of what it did and that sort of thing. Because, I mean, I 100%ed it as well. I think it was yesterday or the day before. And it was just a lot of fun. Simple fun.
Yeah. And Sunshine, however, I'm going to make some enemies.
Oh, God. I have not played I'm completely blind to Sunshine, so let's see what you have to say.
This was the game that I hadn't played. I've played both the others. This was the only one... I'd seen various Let's Plays of it throughout the years, but I'd never got to play it myself. And I was intrigued because it has a very mixed reception. There's a lot of people who really, really love this game, and a lot of people who hate it. So I can see why, having played it. This game is very much a mixed bag. It's full of a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but the thing that I found personally was that the highs weren't really that high. There were some really fun moments, but never to the extent of 64 or even, you know, Galaxy, especially Galaxy. Whereas the lows are some of the lowest stuff I've seen, not just in a Mario game, but in a video game.
Was it the sandbird?
No, actually, I can't say I like the sandbird, but there's much worse things. The pachinko machine, the watermelon.
Oh, I've heard legends. I've heard tales of the pachinko machine and the watermelon.
Yeah. There are so many parts of this game where it's like... Yeah, it'd be like... If as a kid, I used to play loads of crappy movie tie-in games. And, you know, this would be bad in one of those. But for a fully released Mario game, one of the biggest gaming franchises, it's embarrassing that they put this stuff in there. Bizarre. It's like, for one of my worst
really
ones I just tried recently. Oh, the absolutely worst one is the, there's a certain shine where you have to push it's a secret shine in Delfino Plaza, and you have to push a lily pad down this river, collecting 8 red coins. But if you touch the water, you instantly die. And if you have to collect them all in one go, because the river's got a current to it. And if you miss one, you have to either kill yourself or start again.
That gives me flashbacks to Rainbow Ride. Pretty much.
Yes, but it's so much worse, because not only is it bad because you have to get them all in one go, and you have to control it using the Flood's hover nozzle, the burst to push it along, the sort of water burst, which controls awfully, absolutely awfully. But to get to the shine in the first place, you actually have to do this long bit where you jump across boats as Yoshi, and Yoshi already controls horribly. But so it takes you about 5 minutes to even get over there, assuming you don't fall in the water and die instantly as Yoshi. And once you get there, you then have to do this obnoxious shine where you have to do it in one go. if you lose all your lives, you go back to Delfino Plaza, have to start doing the Yoshi bit all over again. Or, as I find out, there's a pipe at the end of the bit, and I thought that would send you back to the start of the level to try again. No, it sends you back to Delfino Plaza to start the whole thing again. It's like, why?
Oh, God. Okay, well, it's good that I know that. Now I won't be using it, that's for sure.
Yes, do not use that pipe. If you've got lives, just kill yourself at the end. But
all right, we'll do.
It's just, at its core, there's a lot of interesting and fun parts of this game that I can see why people love it. But then there are so many moments like that, like the pachinko machine, like the watermelon, where it just brings down the experience, and you can overlook some of those. You know, Mario 64 definitely had quite a few of those moments, but Sunshines are so frequent that it gets to the point where it brings down your experience of the whole game, and it never allowed me to enjoy the game for much long before something, you know, kicked me in the face in the game.
Right.
So I do apologise, because I know some people here love Sunshine. So I'm probably going to be kicked out of several Discord servers I'm in. So at this point.
All right, then.
But yeah, and to give it some positives, I actually quite like Flood. Flood is an interesting mechanic. There are some really fun level designs, like the roller coaster level where you're having to blow up the giant Bowser
with the rockets.
It's really interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But some people don't like it. I thought that was really fun. And different visual aspects, like how you can see the different levels from any place in the map, really. So it's all connected in one unified world. That is actually really impressive. And visually, it all holds up very well. It's
that's good.
On the Switch, put into widescreen. You know, some of it's... you can tell it's a GameCube game, but the water in particular is incredible. That... I don't think I've seen this good water in the game before. It's generally really impressive, but...
Fair enough. Overall, it seems like a nice little port, though, you know?
Yeah. You know, it is the same game, really. If you enjoyed it before, you're going to enjoy it now. And I still had a fun time with it overall. It's by far the weakest Mario game I've played. It's just full of a lot of moments that bring it down. I really wanted to enjoy it a lot more than I did, but I have to be honest with you, and that was just my experience playing it. But
I might live stream
it's a Mario game
at some point. Who knows? Maybe we'll see.
That would be
reaction.
Interesting.
We'll see.
That would be. I would say don't go over 100%.
Yeah.
The blue coins in particular, they could really use some tracking system for those, because to get them all is going to be a headache, but it's still, you know, it's still a Mario game. He ultimately, he has some interesting new moves here. Like, I love how he can spin jump. He can sort of do that, and that's really useful. I do miss the backflip. That's no longer in this game. But
oh, really?
You know what?
Oh.
No, it's not, because the button to use it is for the flood. So
okay.
And you know, switching between the different nozzles can be a little bit annoying as well. But I'm going to stop myself before I fully disown myself from the Nintendo community.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, I should have seen this one coming, because I have a thing with the GameCube era where I never liked the games that much for some reason. You know, I don't like Mario Kart Double Dash. I don't like Smash Bros. Melee. I haven't played Thousand Year Door, so I can't.
You need to play
I have
Thousand
no knocks
Year
on that
at
one.
Some point.
You know, if they do a Paper Mario collection, I'm all in. So.
Oh, that sounds so good. I'd be so.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But only with the good games, the first three, and maybe Color Splash. Yeah, Color Splash.
What? So you're saying that Sticker Star isn't a good game?
Yes, we just missed that one out, and we'll play the other four in the collection. That'd be good. And Origami King too, I suppose. There you go.
Yeah, that seems fun. But yeah, that is my experience with the 3D collection so far. You know, it's these are just the games that you've played before, but in a ported to the Switch in handheld, slightly upscaled. And if you've enjoyed these games at all before, you're going to have fun with them. So
yeah,
that's pretty much all I can say. Have you got anything else you want to say about them?
Not about this. No.
Okay, interesting. So I think that's pretty much everything covered for the podcast then.
Well, unless
you
actually,
have... Oh.
That's not quite the case, because a couple minutes ago, I'm kidding you not, a couple minutes ago, while we're recording this, yes. I believe it's currently 3:08 p.m. in UK time. I believe at 3 p.m. they announced a new fighter for Smash, tuning in on the 10th. Oh no, sorry, not the 10th.
Wait,
the
what?
The 1st of October.
Oh,
yep. 7 o'clock oh, I didn't Pacific see that. Time, 10, yeah, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. I believe that is 3 p.m. or something around that UK time.
Yeah.
So they have just announced that.
Oh, I've been waiting for this. Kai, you are a lifesaver.
So, what do you think? Discussion video on the new Smash Fighter? Who knows?
Well, you know. You never know. I mean, we do have our we do have a video where we discuss this, don't we? Where we discuss our predictions. So they're probably mostly the same from then. I'm still hoping for X and Pyro, but
be anyone. That's literally in like when's the first? That's tomorrow. It is literally tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Damn. Yeah. Okay.
Jeez. Wow. That.
Come on, level five. Well,
you get to see my excitement whenever a character reveals. You know, now it's.
Yeah.
I'm so hyped.
That's crazy. Awesome. Okay, that'll be a fun one to talk about then, whenever we do.
It's going to be Flood from Mario Sunshine, his own character. That's it.
It's going to be the watermelon and the lily pad. they play like the ice climbers.
You know what, Kai? I hate you.
Sounds good to me though. Yeah.
Man.
I mean, there's not really much else to talk about with that, but we've just got it in now, so.
So that's exciting. In fact, it would have happened by the time this is released. So.
Yes, by the time this is released, the fight will be revealed.
Wow. So, we've got to call it then. Who is it? And let's see if we're right. Who do you think, Kai?
God, I don't know. You go first.
No pressure.
I need time.
All right. I'm just going to say it.
Steve.
I'm not sure I'm confident in that, but
okay,
I'm just going to
all right.
go all in.
I'm
and
with
say
you
that.
On that one. I'm agreeing with you. I'm calling the same thing.
Steve.
Of course. And, you know, we are betting zero money on this, so don't hold us to it. But.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to be that.
Some point.
Surely.
But if we are right, you all owe us money. Just saying.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I do think they're going to do, though? Just a prediction. Uh-huh. So, this fight is going to be announced on the 1st of October. Remind me when Xenoblade 2 was first released.
Oh, December 2017.
Yeah, December 1st.
I think.
So I believe that they will release this fighter.
Oh!
On
an anniversary.
Xenoblade 2's anniversary, yeah. That's my prediction. Hard read.
That's an interesting one. You know, I'm not sure if they'd wait. If they'd announced the character and do 2 months till it releases. But, you know
maybe.
What? That would be awesome. And it could happen. So, I guess we'll find out. I mean, you'll already know watching this video, so.
Yeah, if we're right, then good. If not, then we'll just.
If not, I'll just edit this whole out. You know, yeah. I'll just. We'll re-record it and make it look like we're correct, so.
Yeah, it's like, my predict is going to be Shantae. Because. Gonna just edit the voice.
The work of editing magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm editing this video. I'm not as good as Sam, but I'll do my best. So.
Okay.
But that is everything we have for this podcast. So thank you so much for watching, everyone. Of course, we release monthly videos so first Sunday of each month. So do stay tuned for more content here. You can also find the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. So if you prefer to listen that way, please feel free to. And of course, a big thanks to our friend Australian Sam for being our logo and thumbnail creator. He gets a break from being video editor, a well-deserved break this month. So
this time,
but as soon as December hits, you're going down, Sam.
Oh God!
But a huge thanks, of course, to my co-host Kai. So thank you for doing this with me once again.
Thanks for having me be here. It's been good.
And where can people find you at?
They can find me not at the moment because I'm currently on a hiatus, but normally you can find me at twitch.tv/fascurine, F-A-S-C-U-R-R-E-Y-N-E. Y-N. I might have spelled that wrong, but I will. It'll be in the description. Just go follow it there. Give me a follow, it would be appreciated. Absolutely. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, so thank you so much, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you in the next time. Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.